My friend, if you're here this morning and you have an issue as to how valuable you are, I hope that you will start recognizing that God has made you of incredible value.
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. This evening, Pastor Brian Grant will continue in his series on the book of Ephesians, bringing a message entitled God's Great Masterpiece. Using as his text the first 10 verses of chapter 2, Pastor Grant will show from God's Word how it is that God considers the life of every one of his redeemed children to be a work of art, a masterpiece designed to bring him glory, every life individually crafted by the hand of our wise and loving God. Pastor Grant will go on to describe how knowing this, knowing the infinite value God has placed upon every one of his children, must impact the attitude of that believer, encouraging him or her to pursue the master plan set out before them. So if you have your Bibles, please open to Ephesians 2 and verses 1 through 10 and follow along with us as Pastor Grant begins his message entitled, God's Great Masterpiece. Here now is Pastor Grant.
In 1950, the late great Nat King Cole topped the Billboard charts for 8 consecutive weeks with a song about a lady from a very famous painting that has been hanging in the Louvre Museum in Paris for the last 200 years. The name of the song was Mona Lisa. Mona Lisa, the picture, is more than just a painting. Mona Lisa is a masterpiece. It's so special that last year, about 10 million people visited the Louvre just to see the Mona Lisa. You know, one of the peculiar and intriguing things about the Mona Lisa is that some people say, no matter where you stand, she's looking at you. Oh, you didn't know that. If you move around the room, if you move to a corner and you turn and look at the picture, it looks like she's staring right at you. She's staring at you in this corner and she's staring at the other guy in the other corner. All the experts are still amazed at some of the techniques built into this special painting, the Mona Lisa. In the Louvre, it has its own private room because there's so many people wanting to see it. And I remember when we went in, what surprised me, because here it has its own private room, but what surprised me about the Mona Lisa, it's only 20 inches by 30 inches. You may not realize it, but the Mona Lisa is pretty small. But you know, its size has nothing to do with its value, because in a true masterpiece, size doesn't matter. In 1962, the Mona Lisa was valued at $100 million. I'm not talking the Jamaican stuff. Because in case you didn't know, if it was Jamaican dollars, it wouldn't even be $1 million. But right now, it's $600. The Mona Lisa is valued today at about $650 million United States dollars. That's something. Wow. Da Vinci, Leonardo da Vinci, painted this painting over 500 years ago. But today, it is still the most well-known, the most written about, and the most sung about painting and masterpiece in history. But as impressive as the Mona Lisa is, there's a more important masterpiece that we need to pay attention to, because our text today tells us that God has made a masterpiece. And although we might be impressed with what Da Vinci did, if God has prepared a masterpiece, we better take some time to pay some attention to his masterpiece. And so this morning, I want to speak to you on the theme, God's Great Masterpiece. And today I'm going to just be focusing on one verse, because last time I spoke to you on the first nine verses of Ephesians chapter 2. And I hope if you weren't here, you'll get a copy of the message so you can make the context. But today I'm really going to be focusing on Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10. And to make sure that we all are seeing it from the same translation, I'm going to put up on our screen Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 from the New Living Translation. And here's how it reads. It says, "For we are God's what? For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the things he planned for us long ago." We are God's masterpiece. Here is what I want you to grab this morning before you leave. I believe this is essentially the message. We are God's valued masterpiece, and he has a special plan for each of us. Oh, I hope you're listening to me this morning. But if we're going to really take full advantage of what it means to be God's masterpiece, there are three essential things I want to share with you this morning. And the first thing that I think we will have to make sure we recognize, number one, we must appreciate our value in Christ. Do you realize not every Christian appreciates their value in Christ? But this is a very essential part of the message of Christ. We need to appreciate our value in Christ. First, every Christian is a divine work of art. To really understand this, it's important that we take a look at the Greek word which is translated workmanship or masterpiece. The New Living Translation uses the word masterpiece. The King James and the New King James uses the word, we are his what? Workmanship. But what is the Greek and what does it mean? The Greek word for workmanship is the word poema. P-O-I-E-M-A. It's the Greek poema, and it means that which is created. And here's the key. The Greek word poema is the root from which we get the English word poem. Oh, I don't want you to miss that. When the scripture is telling us that we are God's masterpiece, we are God's workmanship, what it is actually saying, we are God's poem. As C.S. Lewis puts it, we are God's divine work of art. Now, what is art? Art is an expression of the very inner being of the Creator. Henry Ward Beecher said, "Every artist dips his brush in his own soul and paints his nature into his pictures." Did you hear that? Art is an expression of the inner being of the artist. It's important that we grasp that, because what God is actually saying, that we are his divine work of art. We are the very expression of the inner being of God. You see, not every painting, not every work of art, really a work of art. Oh, you might never realize that. So, not so long ago, they took me to painting with a twist. Have you all done painting with a twist? So when you go to painting with a twist, you go into this room and everything is set up for you. The canvas is there for each person has their canvas, your brushes, your paint. The instructor has already selected a work of art that we're supposed to paint. And he's now going to, or she's now going to give us detailed instructions as what to do, where we're to start, what brush we're to use, what we're to do here, what is the first color, and then what we're to lay on top of that. He gives us great instructions. And to be honest, when we were finished, some people's was so good that they took it home, and some said they were going to frame it because they were going to hang it on the wall. They were so impressed. It was so much like what it ought to have looked like. Not mine. I didn't frame mine. I would have thrown it in the trash if they would have allowed us to throw them in the trash. There was no comparison between mine and what it should have been. But I had a good time anyhow. It was good fellowship. But here's the point I want to make. Even those folks who thought theirs was so special, that was not art. It was not an expression of their inner being. All they were doing was following instructions. The person said, put something here, they didn't. The person said, use this color, they didn't. It had nothing to do with their inner being. It was a painting, but it was not art. Art expresses the inner being of the Creator. And when God says we are His divine work of art, we are the representation of the very inner nature of God. My friend, if you're here this morning and you have an issue as to how valuable you are, I hope that you will start recognizing that God has made you of incredible value. Don't say I'm not worth anything. Don't sit there with feelings of inferiority because you're valuable to God. Number one, God has made us and we need to appreciate our value because every Christian is a divine work of art. But also every Christian is a one-of-a-kind divine masterpiece. Oh, don't miss this. You see, the Greek word poema, which is used here in Ephesians chapter 2, is used only one other time in the entire Bible. You see, God is actually telling us that He has two masterpieces, two divine poems. One, us, the believer in Jesus Christ. Listen, if you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, He's not talking about you right now, but it could happen to you today, because this morning you could open your heart and your life to Jesus Christ and receive His salvation and become another trophy of His grace and another one of His divine, one-of-a-kind masterpieces. But so there are only two. Number one, Ephesians chapter 2, and the other one I'll put up for you on the board, Romans chapter 1, verse 20. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead. Poema, if you notice, we have underlined for you the things that are made, and the reason we have the things that are made, that's the word poema. What are these things that are made? It's talking about God's universe. Can you imagine that? It says the universe. So here's what we need to grasp before we move forward, that God has two great masterpieces. One, His created universe, the masterpiece of the created universe, and secondly, the masterpiece of the redeemed child of God. Amen.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
Now, you know, we don't have any problems accepting the fact that the universe is a masterpiece. Do we have any arguments here? Oh, I could go into a science lesson this morning, but I for sake of time, I won't go too deeply into it. But my goodness, the scale of this universe is so vast. Are you aware that when you look up in the night and you see a star, do you know that some of those stars that you see do not exist? Do you realize that some of those stars burnt out thousands of years ago? You said, Pastor, how in the world can I be seeing that star and it has burnt out thousands of years ago? Listen, light travels, let me hear my scientist now, light travels at the speed of what? 186,000 miles a second. Per second, you know. 186,000 miles a second. The universe is so vast that light traveling at the incredible speed of 186,000 miles a second is just arriving here today for stars that are already gone. These stars have been burnt out for years, and the light has been traveling to us over all these periods of time, and it has just arrived here, although the star has disappeared. Listen, this universe is so vast, it's so complex, it's so well balanced. You realize if the earth was just a little closer to the sun, there could be no life maintained on earth. Listen, God's universe is amazing. And the passage here in Romans chapter 1 verse 20 is telling us that one of the things this masterpiece of creation does, the masterpiece of creation is helping us to understand some of his invisible attributes. Did you notice that? It says it's helping us to understand some of the invisible attributes of God, and it's helping us to understand the power of God. And certainly, we can see some of the attributes of God in creation, in the universe. One of the things about God, he's such a God of order. And scientists, one of the things the universe does, it helps us to recognize that the God we serve is a God of order. So the scientists, they observe all of this. And because God operates the universe in such an orderly manner, the scientists have come up with what they call what? The laws of nature. But there really are no laws of nature. It's just an observation of the fact that one of the attributes of God, that he's a God of order. You heard the story about what happened to John Newton, the one who is credited with discovering the power of gravity. And they said he was in at his grandmother's yard sitting under the apple tree, and an apple fell, and after a couple of apples that hit him in the head, he started wondering, why did these apples fall? Why did they go up? Why did they have to hit me in the head? Now, I understand that may not be quite a true story, but the reality is, apparently apples falling did have something to do with why he started doing the research. But why do apples always fall downward? Why don't they go up sometimes? You see, apples will never Well, I guess you can't say fall upward. When they come off the tree, they won't go up because of the orderliness of God. Amen? Because of the orderliness of God. And we call it gravity. But did you realize that just as how the universe displays the attributes and power of God, do you realize that so do we as believers? You say, Pastor, break it down. Do you realize that there's some attributes of God that cannot be seen other than in the life of the believer? The sun, the moon, the stars, the animals, there is no other created being that can demonstrate and give credit to some of the other attributes of God. Only the masterpiece of redemption can give praise and testimony to some of God's attributes. But Ephesians 2 verse 1 to 9, God starts off by the passage by telling us in verse 1, listen, and you have he made alive who were what? Dead. It says we were dead in trespasses and in sins. And I shared with you the last time that we were dead, we were depraved. I shared with you about Stalin, how Stalin actually went to Christian school for a while, but he rejected the message of Christ. And I said to you, none of us can recognize how depraved we could be, has it not been for what God has done. And this is why I challenge every young person, you make sure you come to Christ while you're young, because you have no idea how depraved you could be if you reject Jesus. We were dead, we were depraved, and we were doomed, because the verse tells us we were children of wrath just like the others. We were on our way to a roasting hell. But hallelujah, the Bible tells us there in verse 4 of Ephesians 2. But God, hallelujah, but God. And my friend, we were dead. We were depraved. We were doomed. But that's when grace stepped in, hallelujah. And so as we keep reading Ephesians chapter 2, we found out the last time that instead of being dead, depraved, and doomed, now we have been made alive. Now we have been raised with Christ. And now we are seated with Christ. And all because of grace. Who else can give testimony to grace? Do you realize that even the angels can give testimony to grace? Because my Bible tells me the angels that sin, God has reserved them for judgment. There is no grace for the angels that sin. The angels that sin are doomed for eternal judgment. But hallelujah, those of us who are children of redemption, the masterpiece of redemption, we were dead, but he has made us alive by his grace. Listen, we need to realize He has these two masterpieces, but the masterpiece that is more precious to him is the masterpiece of redemption. Because my Bible tells me that one day the masterpiece of the universe is going to be burned up. Did you know that? Oh, this is going to be burned up. But what about the masterpiece of grace? What about the masterpiece of redemption? Throughout the countless ages of eternity, we shall sing his grace. We will be with him. The Bible tells me that one of these days, these vile bodies are going to be changed. Listen, the best is yet to be for the children of God. Amen? Amen. Because one of these days, these vile bodies are going to be changed, and we're going to be transported to the very presence of God, where we shall be with him forever. And I think that's a good place to shout hallelujah. So I'm talking now to my good friends who are struggling. Because every now and then I run into a Christian, and they have a hard time believing they're worth anything. You have a problem with self-esteem. You think you're valueless. You're worthless. Sometimes it's because you were abused when you were a child. And I'm sure there are folks here, you were abused when you were a child. Some of you were abandoned when you were kids. Some of you have done some stuff in your life that you're so ashamed of. You think that you have no value. But God wants you to know this morning, the day you came to Jesus, grace stepped in, and grace has made you of inestimable value. You are God's divine work of art. And so the next time somebody tells you you are nobody, the next time you feel like you're nobody, just remind yourself, I am somebody. Amen. I am somebody. I'm God's divine work of art. I am God's masterpiece. I'm a child of the King. I am worth something. I am somebody. And listen, by his grace, listen. Because I am somebody, because I am a masterpiece, I can do more than anybody thinks. Because he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ask or think, because of the power that now is at work within you. Hallelujah. In his masterpiece, he's working in you. But listen, number one, if we're going to really appreciate what it means to be God's masterpiece, we have got to appreciate our value in Christ. But secondly, we must acknowledge that God has an amazing plan for us. Let's look back at our text, Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You know, it's interesting, just a verse or two earlier, the Bible tells us, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of works. You see, it's hard to believe. But this is amazing that before you got saved, are you listening to me this morning? Some of you are not saved yet. Before you got saved, there is nothing you could do that God would regard as good works. I tell you last night, this is still rushing through my mind. Man, God, do you realize how much stuff folks have done? I have seen some people do some amazing things, haven't you? Perhaps you have done some amazing thing. And God says, nothing that anyone has done before they got saved is good works. You see, God's standard is so high because God is so holy. His standards are so perfect. He can understand the motive you did it. He can understand every single reason. And God says, listen, because you're dead, none your dead man does is good. Amen. But thank God, the passage is telling us that now that we got saved, we are created for good works.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today.
You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to Him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and He will answer your prayer and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It would certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.